He's going to watch that bounce at the 30, roll to the 20, where Downs grabs a hold of it. Spins by a defender at the 25, moves to the 30, 35, right side, 40. 50-yard line, Caleb Downs behind blockers to the Indiana 40. Middle of field to the 30, to the 20 goes Caleb Downs, to the 10, and into the end zone. Punt return, touchdown for Caleb Downs.
That was Paul Keels on Learfield. Final score 38-15. This was the big test for Indiana, Perloff, and they failed it. Ohio State, while the final score doesn't look like it was so much of a blowout, and it wasn't a blowout, it wasn't a boat race, nothing like that. It was just a very solid win for Ohio State. At one point, they scored, 31 unanswered points after Indiana came out and scored that opening touchdown. And it just, you never felt like Indiana could really get themselves back into the game.
No, but you know what? It could have been worse. It wasn't like 52-7. And Ohio State, once again, strangely unexplosive for an Ohio State team who has basically a five-star at every single position on offense. I know we talked about their O-line has had some injuries. But yes, you're right. Solid win, but I feel like it wasn't a blowout, which is all Indiana needed.
Well, but see, I thought it was convincing, though. Like, well, how many adjectives? How do we want to do this? How do we want to dance around this? Now, the bottom line is that Indiana went into the horseshoe and they lost. They, in the AP poll, dropped from 5 to 10. So they're still very much alive for the college football playoff. But I just ask you, like, this was the one test, really. Now, they've been passing all their other tests with flying colors. It's been the double-digit wins except for against Michigan. So, okay, now you have the two defenses that you face that have been good defenses in Ohio State and Michigan, and you are not nearly the explosive team that you look like against some of these other bottom of the Big Ten teams. So, to me, I thought Indiana, well, they didn't embarrass themselves by any stretch, but they did get exposed, did they not? Because every time they go up to another weight class, it doesn't look the same.
I don't know. You go on the road to Ohio State. Also, they only let up 316 yards. So that's the committee's going to look at that. That's not a lot in college football. So their defense basically shut down Ohio State. I mean, for all intents and purposes, Ohio State got a lot of special teams help.
Yeah.
And Ohio State has every weapon in the world. And Are they the favorite right now? I know them and Oregon keep flip-flopping the Vegas favorite, but that's probably the best team in the country. It's certainly the most talented team in the country. So I don't think there's any shame in this loss.
No, it's not about shame, but if you're asking me, like, was it a good enough loss to say, wow, this team is right there with Ohio State? That's not true. When I watched, you know, when we watched Oregon go to Wisconsin, and that was a close win for Oregon. Did you think, wow, Wisconsin really is one of the best teams in the country here? No, it was like, it was the best shot, and they tried, but it wasn't convincing to me.
They fired their OC the next day.
But that, be that as it may, it wasn't convincing to me. Like, to me, Indiana didn't prove enough in that loss that they can hang with that next tier of team, in my opinion. I do not think they should be in the college football playoff. How much more finer of a point do I need to put?
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
So, oh my God, now they're so desperate. Like, who are you going to put him in their place? Like, you're going to have a tough assignment finding someone to replace him because they are going to be in the college football playoff. I don't know. They actually out first downed Ohio State in this game, 16-14. Like, they were at least, you know, in the game for a large chunk of it.
I think you're grasping for something here.
Yeah, but I mean,
you were watching that game. I know you were.
Yeah.
And it never felt like Indiana had a shot to come back in that game. It didn't. It did not.
No,
they scored
a
touchdown late
and
got a two-point conversion.
It definitely didn't feel like they were too – it didn't feel like they didn't belong on the field to me. I mean, it just generally – like, Ohio State – kind of took off in the second half, but it never felt like a blowout early on. There was a point where I was like, oh man, maybe I should have put some money on the Indiana money line through the second quarter. Yeah, and again, a road game against the number one team or number two team in the country. Yeah, I mean, you realize, by the way, you can say they don't deserve to be there, but they will be there.
No, listen, I get that because they were ranked so high to start with. They were fifth going into this game, so now they just dropped to 10. So you know, the basically the teams behind you now, Boise, Clemson, and then Alabama's 13-14, but is Arizona State. But obviously we're going to talk about who wins their conference championship. Arizona State, in a wild win over BYU over the weekend, has a shot to play for the Big 12 title game, and they obviously would get an automatic bid if they win that. So that was one of the big games of the weekend, and Indiana ends up losing, so Ohio State stays at number two. Indiana falls to number 10. That was not the only crazy stuff that happened this weekend. Massive, massive losses. Obviously, Alabama losing.
Yeah.
Ole Miss losing. It was just carnage. Absolute carnage on Saturday.
A&M losing in crazy dramatic fashion. I feel bad for the SEC, but they are absolutely destroying themselves. Like, can a good SEC bottom feeder just let the good teams win so they can get more teams in the final 12? Don't they know what's best for the conference, Maggie?
Listen, everyone knew this going into the game, by the way. If you want to just take the A&M Auburn game, for example, that goes to four overtimes, and the spread was 2.5 going into that game.
Yeah.
It's like the bettors knew, Vegas knew, everyone knew this was going to be a much tighter game than it probably should have been, and look what happened.
Who said on Friday's show that night games in the SEC are total chaos?
They are.
And by the way, they're going to be chaos again next week. There's three more losses coming. Why? It's very, very hard to go into an SEC stadium at night.
So the other big losses, obviously, Alabama, just indescribable. How do you lose to Oklahoma? How do you only score 3 points in a loss to Oklahoma? Would be on. And then Ole Miss goes into Florida, and I hate to say predictably, but we were wondering how many big games can Lane Kiffin actually win. Ole Miss going into the swamp, and Florida upsets them. And I think the biggest question kind of coming out of this week and is the SEC overrated? You know, because these teams are kind of cannibalizing themselves, and to be honest, they only have themselves to blame. No one asked the SEC to expand and expand and expand to be 18 teams so that Oklahoma could even have the opportunity to beat you as an Alabama team who was definitely looking at the playoff and now is way murky.
Okay, I just don't understand the logic. The SEC, the bottom half of the conference, is beating the top half of the conference, and that makes the SEC weak. So if you just take the actual specifics out and you say, well, these lower teams are beating the higher teams, that makes it a weak conference. Couldn't you also argue that makes it a strong conference? Like, I'm a little confused as to why, all these teams like Oklahoma has 5 stars everywhere. I mean, if you're going on recruits and NFL players, SEC is still miles above everybody else.
I think that weak is not the right word. I think overrated could be a word, because if you have dominant teams, right? If you have teams that we thought on paper look really, really good, like Ole Miss, who has every recruit, went into the transfer portal, got everybody under the sun, and the fact that you can't beat Florida, which I understand is a tough place to go in and play.
Yeah, with DJ Lagway. Important point.
And Lagway, and they beat LSU the weekend before, and I get that Florida's got this new sort of vibe going on, and maybe Florida's back or whatever you want to say, but I guess maybe that's the question. Is it overrated because you have no team? A team can't be dominant in that conference right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, you made the argument that the Big Ten is overrated because you said Indiana blowing everyone out doesn't deserve to be in the thing. So for me, you're saying the Big Ten is wildly overrated, much more than the SEC. So would you put Alabama in or Indiana?
I would put Alabama in. But it's hard, really hard for me to say that because they're coming off of a game where they scored 3 points and they look terrible. And Jalen Milroe was awful, and his NFL stock may have cratered because of this game. So many implications coming out of it. But if you're asking me, like, top to bottom, I watched an Alabama team beat Georgia.
Yeah.
I watched that, and I know they had a big lead and Georgia came back and then they had to pull it out. But I did see them beat Georgia, and Georgia's probably going to win the SEC. I have not seen Indiana do anything close to that.
Whew, that's a tough one. So basically, the three losses to Alabama, it sounds like your argument is you're discounting them because they're going against pretty good teams.
No, I'm not discounting. Yeah. I mean, I also watch Alabama beat LSU. Like, so, I'm watching Alabama have good wins, and I get this loss was awful, but again.
Wow.
Do you think that it's a show of strength that a team like Alabama and LSU had the same conference records or even worse conference records than South Carolina, Missouri, and Texas A&M? Like, that to me, that's not strength. Like, We know what South Carolina is. We know what Missouri is. The fact that Alabama and LSU are on their level tells me that the conference is not that great.
You think that means everyone's collectively down, not yes. South Carolina, Missouri are up?
No, because we watched those teams play. I mean, I watched South Carolina lose to Kentucky.
Yeah, but they kept it close against a lot of teams. I know, again, we're doing this close but no cigar thing. South Carolina might be good. The one thing about Mizzou, their quarterback's been in and out of this season, so I don't know about Mizzou.
It just feels like and I get Perloff's example, and it makes sense. It just feels like no other conference ever gets this benefit of the doubt. Like, I saw someone tweeted, like, the Pac-12, when they'd have conferences like this where it was everybody jumbled up, we always kept saying that was a show of weakness, that the team on the bottom could beat the team from the top.
Now we're
saying for the SEC, well, the team from the bottom beating the top, well, that means the conference is good. It just feels like, what could the SEC do to show that they're not that great? Like if they have the haves and the have-nots like they've had for all these years, that showed how awesome it was.
Yeah.
Now there's parity, and that also shows how awesome it was. Yeah, you can't have it both ways.
Why can't you say the same exact things about the Big Ten? I mean, Penn State barely beat a 500 Minnesota team, and Indiana, so they're... You know, their shining star just got killed by Ohio State. What? How can you not? And why are those teams not in the same exact boat? They haven't proven anything.
I agree with that. I don't necessarily think they think the Big Ten's that good. I think the Big Ten is really a two-team conference. Ohio State and Oregon.
The bottom of the Big Ten is remarkably weaker than the bottom of the SEC to me. I think, like, those teams get to basically rest against Purdue and Northwesterns of the world. I think, like, Vandy this year, Vandy's an old team. Like, Vandy's one of the worst teams in the SEC. And they are old and kind of talented. They're kind of talented. Yeah, I just think the SEC has a lot more depth, which is ironically going to kill the number of teams. They're going to get less teams. You know, Indiana's getting in, and Alabama's not getting in.
I hesitate to say because I have no idea what's going to happen now after this stunning week. Who knows what's going to happen next week, and who knows what the committee is going to do with three lost teams? I have no idea because. The three lost teams, but if you look at the quality wins, and we've already seen that the committee will put a two-loss team above a one-loss team based on strength of schedule, eye test, all that stuff. So I have no idea. None of us do. I wouldn't feel good if I was Ole Miss.
The committee is afraid of the AP poll. They will come pretty close to it. They're not going to do anything radical. Three losses before the conference game. That's not happening.
We got to wait till the final week. The final week is when they just do whatever they want.
Exactly.
That's when it's going to get like, yeah, maybe for the next few weeks, AP poll and the college football playoff will look similar. When you get to the last week, they're just going to just throw out all their previous prerequisites of what turns into a college football playoff team and just do whatever they want. Because we've seen that now for how many years?
Yeah, they just basically they whiteboard this thing. Yep. Like, all right, erase it all. Who's got any new ideas? Time for the spitball.
I can't argue you guys on that one. But still, it just feels like the committee is going to do the most obvious thing. In fact, I'm a little mad. The job got easier for the committee this year. I want them to have, you know how I root for chaos. I think you do too.
I mean, I think it's happening though, Perloff. Like,
I don't think so.
This is a lot of chaos. You had three teams in the top 10 all lost in the second to last week of the regular season.
Except everybody really wanted to see a one-loss Indiana team go against a two-loss SEC team. Like that was the battle. And I feel like Indiana, the controversy went away because everybody else lost. So now we know they're getting in. They fell to 10. They're going to be Purdue, and they're going to be fine. And also, you know, another narrative that went away, these SEC teams having to go to cold weather cities and all the Big Ten, we're going to get these. Now these SEC teams aren't even going to be there. So, like, no Ole Miss and Alabama going up to Big Ten country.
No.
Well, someone's going to go to Notre Dame, most likely, right?
Right, probably. I mean, it's basically going to be, but it's not going to be one of these warm weather teams. They're not making the Final 12. It's going to be an ACC team. They're probably going to be three ACC teams. You're right. But it's not like everyone wants to see Georgia and Alabama go to cold weather and see what happens. That is not happening anymore.
No, now it might be Miami. It might be, I don't know, SMU.
Well, yeah, it's gonna
someone's going to win the ACC. They'll get an automatic bye.
You're right. You'll get Clemson, SMU, and Miami going to cold weather. But that's not what we were talking about. That wasn't the narrative about ACC going to Big Ten country.
Wait, by the way, who is going to get that automatic bid? Because if Boise keeps winning, and they're already in the Mountain West championship game, and if they win that, they're getting a first-round bye, right?
Well, yeah, the Big 12 has cannibalized itself as well. And I say the same thing about the Big 12. Like, again, the SEC, it's, oh, well, everybody, the teams that are bad are beating the good teams. That shows the conference is good. All right, what about the Big 12? Because I saw Kansas go in there and beat Colorado. We're not saying, oh, the Big 12 is so great.
Like, do you believe that?
I also saw Nebraska beat up Colorado. So, yeah.
That's a Big 10 team.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, a bad Big Ten team killed Colorado. That one hurt.
That's what I'm saying, though. I feel like the SEC argument just feels very, like, it just feels flimsy. Because, right, like, Nebraska blew out Colorado. And then I watched Kansas beat Colorado. Like, Houston beat K-State. Like, there are other conferences where the bad teams beat the good teams, too. But we don't ever say that those conferences are good. We never say that. We only do that for the SEC. It's the only argument we have for that.
You have to do out of conference. You have to do conference versus conference. And last year was a disaster for the SEC, right? They famously flamed out against other conferences. This year it's been, I mean, you just feel like, I don't know, like we're common sense. Alabama plays a mid-level Big Ten team. They're going to kill them. That's what we feel. But then again, Alabama lost on Saturday.
I mean, Oklahoma had one SEC win before Saturday night against Alabama. And that was 3 points. Alabama hasn't been held to scoring 3 points since pre-Nick Saban.
Yeah. Ironically, they had a bunch of touchdowns, too, which were all destroyed by something or other.
Oh, man. If anyone watched the touchdown, the Ryan Williams touchdown that got called back, how did he get a foot down is my biggest question. And anyway, it ends up getting called back because of an illegal touching that's happening 100 yards away from the play.
Yeah. How about Jalen Milroe's failed attempt to tackle a guy on interception? That is getting a lot of attention. Not that you can't judge a quarterback on his tackling skills. You don't really want him mixing it up, right?
Can we agree, was Alabama the worst loss of the weekend?
Not even close.
I'm going to Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, I thought, was also really bad.
Are you kidding me? Guys serious? Put that poll up.
Was Alabama the worst loss? I mean, listen, Indiana, as you said, still likely going to get in, even though I don't think they should be. But, I mean, Alabama, how? I mean, A&M, that was another bad one. But if they beat Texas, they'll still be playing for the SEC championship game.
Indiana's loss was similar to Texas's loss to Georgia. They're not that different.
Hey, so who do you think is the worst loss, Pearl?
It's Alabama by 100 miles. It's not even close. They lost 24-3 to Oklahoma. Jackson Arnold ran for 150 yards against them. I mean, how can nothing even compare? That is the shock of all shocks.
I don't understand because this question.
Maggie said, like, Oklahoma has been
nothing.
Totally futile this year.
This has been a rough, rough first season of the SEC. Wasn't sure if maybe their head coach, Brent Venables, might be feeling a little something on the hot seat, but you beat Alabama at home. Like, now all your stock's way up. Your arrow's pointing up.
What was the spread on Ole Miss, Florida?
13, I think.
Was it really? Yeah. Jeez, that was a mistake.
I think it ended at 13.
Yeah, it was definitely 13 because I bet it. I immediately went to Florida.
Oh, I was going to say, which side?
Florida. Yeah. I was like, oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. That's like, you never know what you're going to get with that team, especially when the receiver got hurt. That was like, oh, that is trouble.
Well, he's been hurt all year. And then got hurt.
But he's been really in and out of the lineup all year. Yeah, I mean, the SEC, I get what you're saying, but just the idea that the SEC beats up on itself is also an option. Just because the top teams lose to the bottom teams, I want to see them lose to an ACC team. I want to see the Miami Hurricanes go into Baton Rouge and beat LSU. Because I'm not sure that happens.
See, here's one thing about why Ole Miss and why this is a terrible loss for them. Yes, they lost to Kentucky. I get that. But they also just beat Georgia. And they handed Georgia 2 weeks ago, because they were coming off their bye, they handed Georgia's worst regular season loss since 2018. That was Ole Miss. And everything was pointing up for them.
I know that was late afternoon, but it was pitch black and foggy. Night games in the SEC.
Lane Kiffin complained about it because the game started at 3:30.
The game was pitch black, and you couldn't even see the field because the fog was so bad. That might as well have been a night game. I'm just saying, going on the road in the SEC is tough. Where I'm sorry to your ACC, EJ, going on the road in the ACC is not the same thing.
We literally went into the swamp the first game.
I know. I knew you were going to say that. Florida stunk then. They had Graham Mertz at quarterback.
Not that great.
I was going to say, the first game of the season, I don't know. There's got to be a little grace for the season opener. And here's the thing about Florida. Things were looking totally bleak for Florida, right? They had lost back-to-back games. They lost to Texas. They lost to Georgia. You're thinking that this is just awful. And look at what happened the last 2 weeks. They beat LSU, dashed their college football playoff hopes, and then did the same thing to Ole Miss.
Isn't it just the quarterback of Florida? Why are we talking about anything else? They had a better quarterback who's only 18, I think. But just got to get Graham Mertz out of there. I mean, Graham Mertz, by the way, he's been playing college football since I was in college.
Well, he's now a cheerleader. I mean, you know, they gave him a lot of credit for how he helped coach up DJ Lagway, because he's basically old enough to be a coach. 855-212-4227. Worst loss of the college football weekend, maybe best win if you want to flip that on its head. I know we are on in so many college football towns. across this great country. What was your big takeaway from the carnage that was week 13, right?
I think it's week
14. It's worth week 14
aren't
now.
Aren't they 2 weeks ahead of
13?
Okay, no, yeah. Well, you don't really do weeks in college football. That's an true. NFL thing. Like, they don't really have an official label.
Week 13 was last week, was this past weekend.
Just total annihilation.
I don't think that's an official designation.
No, they don't really go that way.
They
like
might
the
as
NFL.
Well, though, because it is pro sports. Yeah, there's going to be more craziness next week, too. It's kind of awesome.
Can't wait. 855-212-4227. One other thing about college football we're going to get to in a little bit. I don't know who needs to hear this. You can't storm the field until there's zeros on the clock. That's just a little PSA. 855-212-4227. It'll save us all at home a lot of time having to clean everyone up off the field. Okay, lots more to do, including we'll do M&P 500, our stock up, stock down from the weekend.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. I mean, Maggie, the calculus of figuring out who's going to be in the 12-team playoff is getting difficult, especially because we don't know what's going to happen next week. What if Michigan beat Ohio State? Would that be hysterical? I know that's unlikely, but if Oklahoma, who's done nothing all year, can run all over Alabama, and Alabama can make about 15 major, major mistakes, and anything can happen, I think I understand who's going to be in the 12-team playoff, but I do think there's at least one more major shot coming.
I think you're right. I don't think it's going to be Ohio State and Michigan, though, because let's think about it. Even if Michigan beats Ohio State, Ohio State already has two top five wins because they beat Penn State when Penn State was ranked 3, and they just beat Indiana, who was ranked 5, and they would have had a loss to the number one team, Oregon, by a point.
Oh, no, Ohio State's in the playoff, regardless.
But so I don't just think that it would matter.
But that would be shocking.
It would be.
Well, I think, would they get, is anyone right behind them? Would they get kicked out of the title game?
I mean, I think Texas losing to Texas A&M is probably the one that people think is the most up in the air. And A&M ends up losing to Auburn in a 4 overtime game. So I don't know if their like spirits are crushed now or if it's going to be hard to get up for this game. But this is a rivalry game that's just been dormant for a while.
We have to double check the tiebreakers to see who's in. Is Texas, have they clinched a conference title game?
They have not. They basically, it's whoever
it's
wins
Georgia,
this game.
And then whoever wins between Texas and Texas A&M.
Yeah, those are only 3 teams that play now.
Oh, because A&M, okay. A&M has 2 losses, gotcha. And Tennessee can't break into that.
No. I don't know why, but no.
855-212-4227. Pat Boyle is here with updates, wearing his Notre Dame shirt, all excited about the big win over Army at Yankee Stadium.
Cue up the Paul Rudd meme. Who would have thought? But look at us.
Who would have thought they'd beat a bunch of elevated high school teams to get to the college football playoff?
Hey, not my fault that when the schedule was rolled out, USC and Florida State were both top 15 teams, and both of them suck.
By the way, that USC game, no?
That's a game they can lose. It's absolutely a game they could lose. I've been waiting to be let down and have my heart crushed ever since they lost to Northern Illinois. Maybe they're saving it for the final week.
Wait, I have a question though. How come the service academies play against Notre Dame and forget how to play football?
Because they're the service academy. Who are they beating that's making you think they could beat Notre Dame?
No, but I'm thinking they could, you know, do a lateral, you know, do a pitch like they normally do, field
they
a punt.
I
know. Well, also Notre Dame knows those teams too. Like they're the only power team that absolutely knows everything Army and Navy done because they keep scheduling them.
I know, but I keep watching these games, and it's not just they're getting crushed, it's that the service academies are just literally giving Notre Dame the game before it's over.
Yeah. I went to the Navy Notre Dame game at MetLife Stadium. I watched in a span of 30 seconds a guy from Navy field a kickoff off his face mask out of bounds at the 1, and the next play they fumbled into the end zone and like literally let Notre Dame pounce on it for a touchdown. And the American conference is not great, but Army and Navy both have like steamrolled the likes of like UAB, Tulsa, Temple, and then they, like EJ said, they play Notre Dame and they forget what sport they're
playing. Wait, so you could beat Lehigh, that means you can beat Notre Dame?
They beat Lehigh, but also each Navy and Army have both like collectively won multiple like 30-point wins against the rest of the American conference. And I'm not saying that's an accomplishment. I'm just saying it's not like they're beating the Sisters of the Blind before they play Notre Dame.
Yeah, it is just odd that all the routine, fundamentals, all of a sudden they can't do.
Right.
Which
from the service
weird.
Academies.
Yeah, and especially you think, and listen, not to stereotype, these are the guys you think would be buttoned up.
Right.
Who don't feel the pressure.
just the way they lose. I have no issue with them losing by 20, 30 points. It's Notre Dame. I get it. It's just like, wow, I didn't think that you couldn't field a punt or you couldn't do an option. Like, that's literally all you do.
That Army quarterback, though, is very good.
Oh, no, he can play.
He's awesome.
But, Perloff, to go back to your point, even if Notre Dame beats USC, well, here's the thing. They could get a gift of like a dream scenario to the semifinals where they could be playing like SMU and then Boise State in the quarterfinals. But I'm fully expecting if they play any combination of Oregon, Ohio State, or anybody from the SEC in the playoff, they will get beaten by 40 points. So I just know I'm ready for that.
That's generally how it goes.
That's crazy. You're right. If they get the seed, they could go.
If they get the five.
SMU and a Boise State.
Yeah, which Notre Dame probably will get the five if they win.
Yeah.
And it's the highest they could get. Yeah, they'll play. Right, I forget who was 12 in the last rankings. But
I think it was SMU. Yeah.
I think it was BYU.
BYU. But they're all out now.
And then, yeah, if Boise State wins the Mountain West, they're probably going to be the four. Because they'll be the highest ranked conference champ, the fourth highest ranked conference champion.
Wait, I'm sorry. Is BYU out?
They're out.
Well, BYU is going to be out now.
They're out now.
Lost two in a row.
Right, but they don't have any shot of playing in the Big 12 championship game? I think they still might.
But it's the Big 12.
Because how many two-loss teams are in the Big 12? Like a ton.
Like a zillion.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Yeah, we have Arizona State 2 losses, BYU 2 losses, Iowa State 2 losses, Colorado 2 losses.
Yeah, that tiebreaker should be fun next weekend.
You're going to have to be freaking Einstein to figure it out. Pat, what else is going on today?
Do you believe in that?
Yeah, we're sponsored by Mint Mobile. Switch and get half off unlimited premium wireless at mintmobile.com/score. Big nut guy. That's right. I hear everybody's getting razors for Christmas in Philadelphia, Perloff.
Why is that?
The Grinch scene where the mayor asks him, how about a shave? Because the Eagles still haven't lost since Nick Sirianni went Britney Spears and shaved his head after the 2-2 start.
Look at that. Do you not remember when this happened?
But the Grinch?
Well, yeah, that was...
I remember when Nick Sirianni shaved his head.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's looking good.
Yeah, remember in the Grinch where the mayor, everything goes haywire after it looked like the Grinch was going to be good, and then the mayor pulls out the razor and says, or maybe the Grinch pulls the razor out and says, how about a shave, and then shaves the mayor's head right down the middle?
Gosh, I don't remember.
Really?
I haven't watched the Grinch in a while. You're talking about the live-action Jim Carrey version?
Yeah, of course.
That's creepy to me.
That he was very scary as a Grinch. I didn't know the Grinch reference, but I do know Nick Sirianni. I feel like that haircut is working now. I noticed that last night. I was actually going to put a note down, ask Maggie about Nick Sirianni's hair.
They make three or four plays that change the game with their mind.
I mean, when you win 7 in a row, yeah, your haircut's going to look cool.
should he shave it again? That's the thing.
Got to keep it shaved now.
I mean, he's let it. I don't think he's touched it. Maybe he got a fade on the sides. Either way,
it is one of the funniest. The fact that he is 9-2 and is now like a coach of the year candidate is a great turnaround. Proving once again my theory that press conferences for coaches are totally irrelevant.
It wasn't just the press conference, it was the games.
Yeah. Well, that part, he's overly aggressive going for it on fourth down. But if it's so bad at the games, then why is he like the winningest coach in football right now?
Because your roster is awesome.
It's awesome players.
You have very good players. You have a great offensive line. Saquon Barkley is a man possessed. Jalen Hurts is running all over last night. He was awesome. And your defense is great.
I don't know. There are a lot of people. I still think you're underrating maybe Nick Sirianni now.
Because I'm not.
Nick
Sirianni.
You're an Eagles fan. You're telling me you still don't. You would rather have like 20 other head coaches in the NFL?
There are a lot of people. From the Indy side, who think like you guys don't understand, Nick Sirianni is a great coach, a great motivator, a great like player relationship guy.
Well, I was gonna say, when's the last time the Colts had a good coach?
I just generally like they're like
Jim Caldwell.
It just seems like Nick Sirianni might be a coaching star, and we're just totally he might be a Hall of Famer.
You're out of your mind.
He really might be a Hall of Famer.
No, good coaches are not getting into the Hall of Fame. Mike Shanahan's not in the Hall of Fame. You think Nick Sirianni's going to bump the line? No shot.
Some dirty yards out there.
Yep. Nick Sirianni, do you know his career record?
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's got to be pretty damn good.
And also, too, was that if that team was so good, then why weren't they winning at the end of Doug Peterson?
Again, I think it's the roster. It's not the coaching. I think it's the roster is good enough, and the coaching is whichever way the wind blows.
I got to give him some credit.
You think Sirianni wins at his next stop?
I don't think there is a next stop.
Wow. Eagles coach for life.
Wow. The next stop is Canton. That's what he said.
Does he get a statue?
Yeah, chew on that one. 7 wins in a row. They plowed through the Rams last night, 37-20, and Saquon Barkley thrust himself further into the center of the NFL MVP conversation with a career night. 255 rushing yards, 302 total yards from scrimmage, 2 touchdowns, both of at least 70 yards. After the game, Saquon asked, is there a championship air around the team?
I don't really know what that feels like. I guess that's a blessing in disguise, but, you know, we have a great group of guys here.
Yeah, just a nice little shot.
Into the trachea.
Right into the trachea. Eagles did lose pass rusher Brandon Graham for the season, though, with a torn triceps. We went through the late afternoon window games last hour along with the madness that was Cowboys and Commanders. So hitting on the other big results from the early window yesterday in Week 12, Sonic and Knuckles leading the charge for another Lions beatdown.
There's the snap. Jared hands it to Gibbs over the right side, trying to get to the edge. He will. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Felt the contact. Just kept going outside until he found an opening. And he did. Second touchdown of the day for Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs. Maybe let that sound go another second or so. Lions radio the call, and Sonic and Knuckles being what the Lions coaching staff calls David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. They scored the 3 touchdowns against the Colts. Lions going to Indy and win 24-6. Detroit defense, by the way, they've allowed just 12 points in their last 2 games combined. And the Chiefs?
Perfect.
I'm convinced at this point you could put 0-11 Kent State on the field with the Chiefs, and they'd find a way to have the game come down to the wire.
Definitely.
But it would be a W. KC blows double-digit fourth-quarter lead. It was 27-16 at one point before Bryce Young and the Panthers storm back to tie it. But then Mahomes with a magical 33-yard scramble on the final drive to set up a game-winning Spencer Schrader 31-yard field goal. 30-27, the final. Here is Mahomes after the game. He'd like some blowouts.
You want to have some blowouts. You want to be a little calmer in the fourth quarter. But I've always said it can be a good thing as you get to the playoffs and later in the season, just knowing that you've been in those moments before and knowing how to kind of attack it, but play by play, not making it too big of a moment. I would say this more than anybody. I would love to win a game, not by the very last play.
Yeah,
that was sweet.
They're 10-1. They've won 2 games by double digits, and of those 2 games, also only 2 wins by more than a touchdown.
Yeah, you can't win a blowout if you can't have a pass that's not longer than 3 yards at any point in the game. I mean, I guess they had a couple to Kelsey, but they are the exact opposite of explosive on offense. It's bizarre.
Yeah, but you knew, and I knew, and even the Panthers knew with a minute and a half left. Was there any doubt that they were getting into field goal range? Any doubt that guy was going to hit it even though he got there 5 seconds ago?
There's also no doubt it was going to be a Pat Mahomes run that was going to do it, too.
I don't
know. Why in the last 2 minutes, is he like Michael Vick? he can run for 40 yards. Nobody can catch him. Nobody knows how to tackle him.
They over-pursue.
So annoying.
The edges go right around him every time because they're not used to it. When it's against Lamar Jackson in the playoffs, you know to make sure you don't over-pursue. Against Mahomes, you forget because he hasn't run all game.
He's like a golden retriever going through an obstacle course.
They're a mess of a team, by the way. There is definitely, like, you just said those numbers. They do not look like the best team in the NFL, which makes me actually more nervous about them if I'm your Buffalo Bills.
We doubted them last year when they were losing games.
Yes.
And Kelsey looked bad. It's the same thing as this year. They're going to get Pacheco back. They're probably going to get Hollywood Brown.
I won't get rope-a-doped.
No,
I didn't
none
get
of us.
Rope-a-doped
they don't need Pacheco back. Hunt's really good. They do not throw the ball downfield. Worthy is not good right now. I will tell you one thing is different. Rashee Rice came on at the end of last year and was a superstar. Is he possibly coming back? There's definitely something missing in their vertical game. And it was there last year. To quote, Chris Sims was talking about this. Like, you started to see Rashee Rice emerging as a star last year. There's no wide receiver there, except for Hopkins. But Hopkins is like a possession receiver. He doesn't go down the field. I don't know. I don't understand. Oh, no, I don't like this call, by the way.
What's that? Oh, well, we'll have to get to that in just a minute.
I was going to say one last thing from the early window as we continue to pour through. Dolphins beat the Patriots 34-15. Look out for Miami. 3 wins in a row. And since Tua has come back, here's the points they've scored. 27-27, 23, 34, 34. Those first 2 games, they lost on last second field goals to Arizona and in the last couple minutes to Buffalo.
Yep. Interesting stuff about Miami because they're playing on Thanksgiving. We'll get to that in just a moment. Pat, great job. We'll hear from you next hour. Don't move. We see you guys on the phones. We got to get to our M&P 500 as well. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after a big weekend?
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We do this on Mondays. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after a big, big weekend? Perloff, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'm going to go stock up. We've been talking a lot about running backs today. One that we don't talk about enough, Green Bay's Josh Jacobs. He forced 11 missed tackles against the Niners, ran for 106 yards and three TDs. And he's, you know, Josh Jacobs was stuck out there with the Raiders. And I just love, I love his backstory. I love him. He's really cool. And I think he makes the Green Bay Packers a force because Aaron Jones was great in Green Bay, but you can never count on him. Josh Jacobs, one thing he's been his whole career is durable and consistent. He is, to me, the key to this team going forward. We put them in the question, who's the biggest threat to the Lions in the NFC? I think he's one of the reasons that they're a dangerous threat. Stock up, Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, especially after the big drop yesterday. Who was it? Christian Watson? The ball just went through his hands. And then on top of that, Romeo Doubs ended up leaving the game. This is going to be interesting on a short week. What happens with the Green Bay Packers? A little bit banged up there. Okay, your stock up was Josh Jacobs. My stock up is going to go to the Florida Gators. Giant killers 2 weeks in a row. Last week it was LSU. This week it's Ole Miss.
Dart looking downfield. He is going to take a shot towards the end zone. No one there but Gators. And it's a pick. Bryce Thornton with the interception.
Bryce Thornton had two interceptions at the end of the game. Jackson Dart actually, they thought, threw a third interception. And it got ruled an incomplete pass. And that gave him another shot, a third shot, to try to get Ole Miss a come-from-behind win. And he threw yet another interception. Just rough all the way around. But for the Gators, stock up. Things were looking so terrible. Billy Napier needed a public vote of confidence from the athletic director, and no one even believed that, really. And now they beat LSU, then they beat Ole Miss. Stock up on the Gators, Pearl.
Love it. Yeah, that was exciting. Okay, stock down time. Houston Texans, I could decide who to give stock down in Houston Texans, so I'm going to give it to the whole team.
They all deserve it.
DeMeco Ryans, not great situationally. Kyme Fairbairn missed a game-time field goal from 28 yards. They just don't have urgency. They should have beaten Titans nine different ways. They're the better team. With Nico Collins on the field, like their offense should be totally competent. He's amazing. Joe Mixon was just awful. It just felt like they didn't play with any urgency, and that's what bothers me about this Houston team. It's not a talent issue at all. It's a fact that, like, they've been, and you've been watching, like, they've been dying to lose a game, and then they lost it on Sunday to the Titans.
Yeah, it's tough because, I mean, they thoroughly beat my Bills. You know, I can't say that the Bills are a better team than them, but it just feels like I can't figure out the offense. And you look up at the scoreboard, and they have points on the board, but you can't really, they never really feel explosive or dangerous, really.
Well, with Collins, I think they do. I mean, I think he is the difference. You can't have a Joe Mixon game, 14 carries for 22 yards. You're going to lose every time that way. He seems to have hit a wall or something. So we'll see what happens with him moving forward. They need a wake-up call. They need a slap in the face. And DeMeco Ryans sits there, and I really like him as a coach, but sometimes he looks baffled by what his players are doing because they're making key mistakes left and right.
Yeah, stock down on the Texans. They lose at home to the Titans. The Titans had two wins coming into that game, and the Texans are supposed to be a Super Bowl contender. That was just, listen, I know division games get weird. That one was especially weird.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Texans' wide receiver injuries, losing Diggs.
Apparently, Joe Mixon was jawing at fans, too. Yeah. Their own fans.
Yeah. But, if you watch, the offense has transformed with Nico Collins. He could take anything to the house. So I'm not going to rule them out as a dangerous team in the playoffs. Everybody comes healthy, and Mixon is awake and conscious for a playoff game. They could be good. Remember, they came out against Cleveland last year in the playoffs. It looked like a house on fire. So I don't totally dismiss them as dangerous, specifically to your Bills.
No, they could be. Listen, they already beat them once. For my stock down, this is about college football fans, and I know everyone's excited, especially when your team has a big win. But you got to wait till there's zeros on the clock before you storm the field. And I'm looking at you, Arizona State. And I'm looking at you, Oklahoma. And I get it, especially for Oklahoma. You are excited. You just beat Alabama. You held them to 3 points. It was a total shellacking. But there's still 28 seconds left on the clock. You can't storm the field. You can't take down the goalposts, guys. Because you want to know what that means? It means we all got to wait for your behinds to get off of the field in a timely manner. You got to put the goalposts back up. And in the Arizona State BYU game, I guess a little more forgivable. No one really knew there was going to be 1 second get put back on the clock, but there was 1 second back on the clock. And you got to get all those fans out, and then you got to restart the game. Just wait a second, guys, gals.
I don't know. You feel a little judgy there, Meg.
I am judging the hell out of them.
I feel
it's
like
college. You know that 28 is more than zero.
I don't know. I'm not signing off of this fun police take right here.
It's so annoying to have to get everyone off the field. You have these drunk college kids now have to single file. By the way, and can someone just put the phone down for 1 second? I know I sound like old person.
Oh, Jesus, Meg.
Shaking fist at cloud. Guys, not every single freaking moment of your life has to be recorded, and we're people who actually have to put stuff out on social media for a living, and I'm telling you that.
All right. You're yelling into the void here because not a single college-age kid is going to listen to you ever on this take. Go have fun.
Yeah. All right.
Stop down on that take.
I never said don't storm the field. I just said wait till there's triple zeros.
Patiently and orderly storm the field. Okay. Do we have time for another stock up? I mean, you got to go. Baker Mayfield, bacon. Almost get my fantasy team in a key game this weekend. 24 for 30, 294 yards. It feels like the Bucs with Mike Evans back, all of a sudden, okay, I know it was just the Giants, but they have an easy schedule, could make a playoff push. And Baker Mayfield, I'm not even talking about the Tommy DeVito gesture, just generally looks super in control. Again, I think the Bucs, after a huge dip, could be back in the second half of the season because he looks really smooth.
Yeah, I had to leave the game with a stinger for a minute. It came back in. But
yeah, that was nothing.
His Tommy DeVito, though, looked off. And Chris McMonagle of WFAN, I put that on social, and he pointed out it's too much elbow, not enough wrist. It was just all elbows. It was like a machine gun version
don't
of
really
the
care.
Tommy DeVito.
I think it was supposed to be ridiculous. That was why I think we're not giving him enough credit.
Well, I mean, also, I think he just had basically went end over end into the end zone. I don't think he was thinking clearly.
Sure, he might have been concussed.
Totally. But it was just off. Felt weird when he was doing it. Too much. All right, there
really?
You go.
Stock I think up, America up. Loved that more than anything.
Oh, no,
this
they did. It was just if he didn't do it correctly. I'm nitpicking now.
Yeah, as long as they didn't storm the field, we're okay.
Exactly. No, as long as you storm the field, just when the game's actually over.
Giants were only storming the field that they were going to wring Brian Daboll's neck. The only reason why the fans there were going to storm the field.
Seriously, to go hunt. It was more like chase the coach. Yeah, and if they could chase the GM out of the building, they would have done the same thing. Phil's our pal in Pennsylvania. Phil, you
Hi,
crazy
Maggie.
Dude.
Hey, I'm not in control of it. That's what they chose.
Okay, so let's set this up quickly. Phil and his wife take a road trip from Pennsylvania to Texas every couple months or weeks. Months, right? Every couple months?
Once a year. I go drive down there twice. She stays for 6 weeks. I drive down, drop her off, drive to pick her off.
Okay, so on the way, Phil, they found this hairdresser that they like in Texas who they let do whatever they want to Phil and his wife's hair, Perloff, and Phil and his wife don't even see it until the finished product is done, and it's permanent.
My wife knows what she wants. Mine's the one that's completely unplanned that's out of my hands. She knows what she wants.
Okay. Phil, do you want to describe what your hair looks like right now? Because I saw the picture, and it's bananas.
It is chopped on top. Half of it's royal blue. Half of it's purple. In the front, on the blue side, is a chunk of purple. And on the back side is, in the purple side, a chunk of blue. And on the side, the middle part, is interchanging highlights of blue and purple.
Phil, you look like Sonic the Hedgehog.
The color didn't really work out a little bit, so underneath my hair in the back is a little bit of turquoise, and the vivid color didn't react to the toner, so I have a couple strands of white hair. So
Phil,
it's completely unique. I do not mind.
I'm going to say something. I mean, this takes a lot of guts to do something like this, number one. Number two, you look like some kind of teenage punk, and I mean that in the nicest way.
No offense taken.
It's bananas. Phil, can we put the photo out on social?
You can do whatever you want. I don't mind.
All right. There we go. That counts as consent.
I just saw it, and wow.
Doesn't wow. he look insane? He let this happen.
It's kind of cool, though.
He's got to be playing bass in a heavy metal band ASAP. Thank you, Manny.